This morning we'll be in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I'm going to read that verse to get us started, and then we're going to dig into where we're going this morning. So, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and let me start reading that text, and then we'll dig in from there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we ask for the blessing of the reading of your word. We ask for your spirit to guide us in the preaching of your word. And we pray that you empower us in the application of your word. Lord, use us up for your honor and glory today. As we lift up the Son of Jesus, the name of Jesus, that he is the priority, he is the only one, and he is the preeminent one above all other things. For Lord, there is no other but you. There's no one that loved us but you. There's no one that can save us but you. There is no one that can open up the doors of heaven and give us entrance but you. Lord, there's no one that is alive but you. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for dying for us. So Lord, may we serve you faithfully and fully. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Much of my life, that verse that I just read there, I have been encouraged and was taught to memorize that to use in witnessing. Can I admit to you, as I grew older and as I began to study and dig a little deeper, that now I cringe at that idea? You know why? Jesus wasn't just knocking on the door to get someone that is lost to come. He was knocking on the church door because believers were too busy with everything else. And in fact, had almost completely abandoned what they were supposed to be doing in the worship of God. That sounds almost absurd, doesn't it? They were there, weren't they? They were having church, weren't they? There were probably all kinds of things and noise going on in the service that day, but yet the tragedy, the terror, is that Jesus was on the outside waiting to be let in. I don't know about you, but I hope that I want to start with one commonality and one understanding, is that that should terrify every one of us today. It should terrify every one of us, and especially as Lindsay Lane Baptist Church in the middle of Florissant. You ever get locked out of the house? Now, I've had my friends do that to me in the car. You know, you run around with your friends in the car, and you get up to the car, everybody else is in the car, and you go to reach and grab the door handle, and they move. You ever have that? And you ever do that to anybody? Good job, Carl. I was waiting for somebody to admit to, and I was going to take names, Carl. We're going to go talk to them. My friends would do that to me. It's humiliating, isn't it? First, it's kind of funny, ha-ha. But when they do it the third and fifth time, I'm about ready to kick my buddy's car in the door. It's humiliating. I want to ask you something. What would it look like to the traffic here on Lindsay Lane? Sunday morning, parking lot's full. We're in here, what we call having church. And there's a figure, it looks like a Jesus, standing on the outside on the front porch, knocking on the door. This is what happened to Laodicea. There's a lot of detail that we could go into, but you know, we did this study on a Wednesday night through the summer. If you remember, we went through the book of Revelation. Laodicea was wealthy. This city was one of the most wealthiest cities in the world. They even had their own banking system. It was a main travel where they would do business, and many heavy hitters would come here to do business. They had medical schools. They had the ability to make salves that they could heal soreness and sicknesses of the ears and of the eyes, especially the eyes. In fact, if you read a little deeper, they were able to take that. They pressed it into a tablet, a long tablet form, and they shipped that all over the world. Isn't that amazing? They had pharmaceuticals before we had Walgreens. How'd they do that? They had great wealth. They had great understanding. They had great ability. And one of their main commerce was black wool. It was so black, it was almost kind of a violet hue to it, and it was glossy black, and it was very expensive. You know, sometimes we have clothing and clothes makers. I don't really know a lot of them, but some of us say, "Ooh, is that such and such?" And like, "Oh yeah, it is." Wow, you're somebody. Wow, is that black wool? Yeah, got it, Laodicea. Ooh, how'd you get that? I'm just that cool. Laodicea, that's right. You ever been there? No, you haven't. You're little people. I've been there. Are you with me? Laodicea, they had it going on. Church had it going on. You realize that? Wealthy. Wealth beyond belief. But God had to open a door of invitation to them. We think, man, they've got it together. They got it going on. They can do all that they need to do. And yet they thought, yeah, we can. And in fact, I probably have my list here. Where was it? Yeah, 61 AD. City of Laodicea was wiped out by an earthquake. You think, oh my, what'd they do? Rome offered to help them rebuild. You know what the Laodiceans did? Nah, we don't need your help. We got this. And the Laodiceans, every one of that city, gave of their own personal wealth, and they rebuilt the entire city on their own. Are you kind of getting the idea of Laodicea? They had it going on. They had it all figured out. But yet when Jesus came, they were completely unaware. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. In my first point, we say, behold the power and the character of Christ. Now, if you remember in our Wednesday night study, as we went through the book of Revelation, when we got to, this is the seventh church, the seventh letter to the seven churches of Asia. And when we got to this, you remember our study, the title of the lesson, I'll never forget it, how to not make God sick. And I'm like, well, that's a repulsive title. And it's like, you know, usually you want a title and a message to kind of lure people in and say, oh, this is going to be an interesting study. But the title of it, Brother Mike, was how to not make God sick. And we would like to think, well, I'm not going to make God sick. I wouldn't do that. That's what Laodicea said too. That's exactly what they said. So in verse 14, Revelation 3:14, and the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these sayings says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Why is it that he's giving titles of himself? Now, understand that as Jesus, you remember the book of Revelation is the revelation, remember it's singular, okay? Because unfortunately, there's many groups or cults or whatever it may be that says that there's other revelations. There's only one revelation and there's only one Christ. And this is the revelation of that one, Jesus Christ. Amen? So the revelation of Jesus Christ was given to John while he's on the Isle of Patmos. He has been held prisoner because he is a preacher of the gospel of Christ. And he's on the Isle of Patmos. And you think, well, we shut him up, didn't we? Well, little did they know that God was going to give him the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ that would be sent to the churches to encourage them to power through the persecution that was to come, but then also to reveal all that he would accomplish and that he would do in the end time. And so as we have all of that, the first part, as we get into the first three chapters, is the churches, the seven churches of Asia, which we believe that it can also relate to us as a church today, but I believe that also that each church can also represent a time of the history of the church. And if we take that approach, not only does it have a personal application for Lindsay Lane Baptist Church today, but also the Laodicean Church represent the church in the very last stages before the Lord Jesus to bring about the tribulation period. Do you think we're in that time? Can I be honest? I think that we would be very naive to think that we are not in the very middle, if not possibly on the very doorstep of eternity today. And we need to be aware of that. So when he comes, Jesus does not have a beautiful rendition to give to the Laodiceans. In fact, we find that this is the only letter out of the seven letters that has he doesn't have anything good to brag on. That's heartbreaking. The church that had the most going for it, the most possibility, we find out, had almost nothing to offer. How shocking it is. But he says that I am the Amen. What is the Amen? Well, the Hebrew transliteration simply means truth. It refers to that which is fixed. It's unchanging. It's trustworthy. So when he says that I am the Amen, those phrases that come after the faithful and true simply describes his name, the Amen. You know why we have in a message, people say, Amen. Why do you say that? You're establishing what has just been said is true. You're establishing it. You're recognizing that is true. And you're making that a public admittance. Well, as Jesus says, he said, I am the Amen. He's preparing them for a difficult message. He's setting the attitude of the church and preparing them to receive what he has to say. He reminds them that he is the creator. There's been times that my dad had to get on to me. I know that's hard to believe, you know. It's a shock, I'm sure, for some of you to realize I wasn't a perfect child. I know, it's hard. But there's times that my dad would come to me and I was not going to listen. I was just had my mind made up, and I just really thought at 3 foot tall, I was going to do what I wanted to do. And he would sit down, and he would just put that big old mechanic finger in my chest, and he goes, I want you to know something. I am your dad. And he'd point to my mother, and she is your mother, and you're going to do what we tell you to do. Now, at first, you would think that, well, that's not going to do anything. You know, sometimes we think the strong-willed child, that's not going to do anything. But you know what? For me, that did everything. Because you know what Dad was not saying? He said, I'm your dad. I'm a lot bigger than you, and I'm going to correct you. Never in my life did my dad do anything that was abusive to me. Never in my life. In fact, my dad never, ever cussed at me, used derogatory comment at me. My dad's amazing. He's everything that I wish I could be and still striving to be. But I tell you what, when he put my finger in my chest, I knew what he was talking about. I'm your dad. I have the authority. And he'd always want to throw in the Bible, you know, honor your father and mother. I don't know why he has to go there. You know why? Because he has the authority and he's establishing that. Jesus came to the church and he says, you think you've got it all going on, but I'm here to tell you, I'm the one that you're going to answer to. My second point, the Lord's evaluation of the church, verses 15 through 18, we're in Revelation chapter 3 there once again, verse 15 through 18. And he goes, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich and with white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and that anointing your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Do you notice all the symbolism that he's writing with here? City of Laodicea, they didn't have wells of their own. They had to bring well water in by aqueduct. And so by the time the water got to the city, it was almost unfit to drink. It was warm. It was tepid. You ever tried to drink water just been sitting around for a while? Not real pleasing, is it? When you're hot, you want something cold, right? When you're cold, you like something hot. But we don't really want in between. It's just not real satisfying. And so Jesus is giving them examples of exactly what's going on in the city. He says, here, you developed this wool and you've gone rich by it, by the sale of it and the produce of it, and you're covered, and everybody looks at you and say, oh, where did you get that? Oh, Laodicea. But yet, spiritually, you're standing absolutely wide open, naked, and in shame before the Lord. My goodness, what a stern message. And he says, in fact, spiritually, you can't even see and didn't even notice when I didn't show up in church. That's what terrifies me about you. To get to a point that we have rejected the Holy Spirit's conviction and we have ignored it and we've pushed him away and pushed him away to the point that we don't even hear him anymore. And he says, now you need eye salve so that you can even see spiritually. This is not an easy message to receive, would you agree? He said, but I counsel you, buy from me gold refined in fire that you may be rich. You say you're rich. You say you have need of nothing, but I'm telling you, you are desperately poor spiritually. Is that possible for us today? I assure you it is. And my friend, I am afraid that our nation as the United States fit this very well. The rich and the wealth that we have, the preoccupations that we have, the distractions that we have, that we think that we have made and accomplished so much, and yet when we stand before the Lord, it's heartbreaking of the lacking. What are the true riches that he's talking about? In Colossians, Paul even addresses this with the church in Laodicea. Colossians chapter 2, he says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle," says, "I have for you, for those who believe." He was writing to them and says, "Look, I'm concerned about you." Even Paul was trying to warn them, something's wrong. In fact, he even kind of goes on and encouraging them to be knit together in love. And then he tells them, he says, "But I want you to grow. I want you to have all the riches that come from the assurance of the salvation of Christ." And he says that you might have the knowledge of the mystery of God. And he phrases it, that is in Christ. It's in Christ that we have the understanding, we have the wisdom, we have the knowledge to understand God's word, God's purpose, and what God is wanting to do. Church, I'm asking us today, do we have that wisdom? If you have Christ, if you surrender to the Lord Jesus, if you come to him begging on a regular basis as if you have nothing. You know, we just sang this morning, "Give me Jesus." What are we saying? You can have the world and all the things that it has. Just give me Jesus. Are we really saying that today, church? Are we really making Jesus that priority? Or have we allowed everything else to distract to the point that Jesus is on the outside looking in? Maybe he's not looking into the church. Maybe he's inside the church. But I'm going to ask you, in your personal life, have you pushed him out to the side where you'll call up on him when it's convenient? Set him out on the back porch and say, "Well, you know, you can stay on the roof, but we'll let you know when we're ready for you to come in." That might be next week sometime. And then all of a sudden we need him and we go running to the door hoping that he's there. Didn't include him in everything else. Didn't include him in the counsel before we got into the situation. Didn't include him in the correction that he wanted to bring to our hearts and our lives and our minds and our thinkings and our desires. But yet when we're desperately in need and we're hurting, we just want to get out of the situation, we go running to him. Are you with me, church? I'm presenting this to you because I'm just as bad. We have to open the door and allow him to be in all things. Amen? My last point. Jesus offers an invitation. Revelation 3:19 through 22. He says, "And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Jesus corrects those he loves. Are you thankful for that? Amen. It's going on and having service, and Jesus isn't even a part of it. Remember I tell you about my friends, they keep pulling away, and I keep trying to grab the door. And it's just finally like, "I don't want in your stupid car. I'll walk home. I don't care if it's 50 miles, right? Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus doesn't do that? "I'm sick of coming to your church. I'm done. I'm leaving." No. Lord Jesus is gracious. Amen. And you know what? Can I present a fact? If he walked away today, he would be justified in doing all that he ever chose to do. But yet, he has bound himself to us by his eternal love. He has bound himself to us by his eternal word. He has bound us himself to us by an eternal covenant that he will sustain, because he knew that we would fail over and over. But here's the question, church. Here's the question, child of God. How are you responding to the very knocking on the door? How are you responding? Do you even hear the knocking on the door anymore? Do you even care? You know, I really thought today, I was like, "I'm going to have somebody go outside and knock on the door." But I knew Brother Mike would probably break his leg trying to get to the door and answer, like, "Who's knocking on the door?" And it would ruin my illustration. But that's what we need, amen? Oh, We don't need to listen for the knocking on the door. We need to listen for the Spirit to respond to Him immediately. And then we know that the Lord's in the building and we won't have to wait for the knocking on the door. Amen? We come to the Lord's house welcoming Him. We come to Him on our daily devotional, our daily commitment, and welcome Him in. We welcome His directive. We welcome His correction. We welcome all of those things, but we strongly desire and are passionate for His riches and not the world and all that's going on around us today. I want you to ask yourself some questions today as you quietly bow in prayer there. Are we willing to bow this morning and ask the Lord, Lord, break our pride. Break our pride so that we can see the desperate need that we have for You. Lord, help us, whatever it is that's blinding us from Your power, help us not to keep You out of our church and the ministries of Lindsay Lane Baptist. Church, I'm asking you, are you willing to go to the Lord today and say, Lord, evaluate our priority list? Oh, Laodicea thought, oh, they had it all in order. By the world standards, they'd all look and say, man, Laodicea, that's a great church. But when Jesus said, He looked, He said, you're naked and poor and you're an embarrassment to the point I want to throw you up out of my mouth. I'm telling you, believer, when we challenge the Lord and we ask Him, Lord, evaluate us, it may hurt a little, but how freeing, how healing, and how powerful it is when the Lord comes in. What are your priorities today? God, we come before You as a church. Lord, we come to You as individuals. It's not the building that we have come together in. We have come together as believers under the banner of Christ, His love, and His salvation for us. We've come together because You've called us together. We are a called out body of baptized believers to come and to fulfill Your purpose, to carry out the Great Commission, to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. And we've done so under the reality of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Lord, there's a lot of distractions that have led us in a lot of different directions, that has consumed our time, our lives, our fortunes, and maybe even making plans of giving it more. And we come to the realization that we're spiritually bankrupt. Lord, help us as Your people to regain our spiritual insight. Help us to be covered not with our own self-righteousness, which is so failing, but with the righteousness of Christ. As we lay hold of His righteousness, as we surrender to Your will and not our own. Lord, help Lindsay Lane not to be a church in word, but a church in action. Help us as each individual believer be surrendering to You so that You'll never be on the outside looking in. But Lord, if we have kept You on the outside in any way, Lord, would You break our hearts, bring us to our knees, that we'll call upon You once again, that we'll be real with You once again, and that we'll be honest, and that we'll truly look at the evaluation that You bring to our church and not our own. Lord, we're on the doorstep of a new ministry opportunity. And Lord, there's no way that we can do this without You. It's only because of You that we're doing ministry, coming together. And yet that's the greatest fulfillment that we could ever have in life and in ministry. Lord, guide us. Fill us with Your Spirit. Help us to put aside all of those things that are hindering us from being the faithful followers that You've called us to be. Lord, thank You for being patient. standing at that door knocking, when so many times I know personally I've ignored. It wasn't on my time. It wasn't what I wanted to deal with, but yet you continue to draw me in. Lord, help us to put these things to rest once and for all. We're here in the altar. Give us the courage to start anew and welcome you in, to see the power of your hand upon us, working in and through your church, allowing you to have your way, to use everything that we are and all that we have to bring glory to your name. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.